25. Connection and Coincidence. Oh, vocalize, Luke heard C-3PO say to R2-D2 as he walked back to the room Lando had given him and Mara back on Dubrillion. He rounded the corner, coming in sight of the droids, just as C-3PO bonked R2-D2 on the dome. R2-D2 responded with what should have been a long and single-noted ooh, but it came out as ooh-ooh-ooh-ee. He's just being stubborn, Master Luke, C-3PO insisted, and he moved to bonk R2-D2 again, but Luke, barely containing his smile, moved over and caught the protocol droid by the arm. I don't think R2 has recovered from our flight through the cold and ice, Luke explained.
B-U-E-U,
R2-D2 agreed. I think he's got the hiccups, Luke added with a wink, and he headed away straight for his room. The fight with the scattered Yuuzhan Vong forces was going quite well. Many had been destroyed with the planet, for many had swooped down in a foolish attempt to protect their home base and had not escaped the blast. And more importantly, the binding force that was the war coordinator was gone. Now the remaining enemy forces were no more than rogue squadrons, and Kip Doran, among many, many others, including considerable firepower from the New Republic, was out on the hunt. At least he could rest easy that the mop-up of the Praetorite Vong was in good hands, Luke thought as he entered the room. Mara wasn't there, and he had to work hard to suppress the urge to go and find her. She hadn't recovered from the ordeals of the past weeks, particularly from the spell that had come over her in the last battle. Her illness was winning now, Luke knew, and as far as Mara was concerned, her battle had to be a private thing. That pained Luke profoundly. The helplessness, standing by and watching the woman he loved so dearly, fight against this inner monstrosity. Luke turned his thoughts outward. He couldn't help in the private struggle, perhaps, but what about the more general fight? He held up a vial, one containing the molecular transformation beetle they had pulled from Belkaden. Mara had felt within her a definite attraction for the thing, as if her disease had reached out to it. That sensitivity might have been misinterpreted, Luke realized. Mara might have been reacting to the fact that she merely felt sicker in the sick climate of the transformed Belkaden. Or it might have been well-founded. Was it connection or coincidence that the disease within Mara and the others had shown up when it did, so near to an extragalactic invasion? Was it an inadvertent, or perhaps even purposeful, insinuation of some foreign disease into the galaxy by the Yuuzhan Vong? Luke didn't know, but he intended to try, at least to find out. If there was some way, any way, that he could help his beloved wife, then he had to try. He bowed his head and closed his eyes, strengthening his resolve. He had so many important issues to attend, the resurrection of the Jedi Council not the least of them. He had to operate on so many levels now, as statesman, diplomat, warrior, scientist, and husband. Mara had talked seriously about flying away for a while, of going to Dagobah, perhaps, or some other wild and force-filled place where she could find an even deeper level of meditation, an even deeper understanding of these things happening within her. Luke, of course, had offered to go with her, but she had politely but firmly refused. This was her fight. This part of it, at least. Luke blew a long and helpless sigh. In a room down the hall, Leia Solo packed her belongings. She, too, had so much work ahead of her, she knew. She had seen these extragalactic aliens, the Yuuzhan Vong, up close, and understood that the threat, though apparently ended on any large scale, could not be ignored. There might be other invasion forces, other war coordinators with even larger forces at their disposal, and next time they might not be fortunate to find such an enemy so unwittingly vulnerable beneath the ice crust of a watery world. Leia appreciated how close they had come to complete disaster, how easily, had they not found a way to destroy the planet, the Praetorite Vong might have marched across the galaxy, one sector at a time, with the New Republic never really coordinating enough firepower to stop them, and with the stubborn and often ignorant counselors of the New Republic never really understanding until it was too late that they had to pay attention to this threat. That would be Leia's job now, her unavoidable duty despite her personal preference to stay out of it all. She had three children, who, though they had proven themselves quite capable, even heroic, surely needed her. She had a sister-in-law battling in the fight of her life, and a brother who might need her support. And she had a grieving husband, a man devastated by the loss of his dearest friend. But wouldn't all of that be moot if the Yuuzhan Vong came back in stronger numbers and better prepared, and the New Republic wasn't ready to meet them? "Ambassador Leia," the woman whispered, not liking but grudgingly accepting the seemingly inevitable title, one that the Council would bestow upon her, declaring her to be an ambassador of Dubrillion and the nearby sectors, including the Helska system of the Outer Rim. She could only hope Borsk Phalia and his cronies would listen. Halfway across the galaxy, another representative set about his latest task. Nome Anor knew of the disaster of the Praetorite Vong. He heard the stories coming in from the Outer Rim, and that, combined with his inability to contact either Yeoman Carr or Dagara, confirmed to him that the invasion force had been battered and scattered. Now there were Yuuzhan Vong warriors running throughout the galaxy, and he had no way to control them. He had done his part for Dagara and the Yamask, had kept the main bulk of enemy warships paralyzed here at the core, and hardly turning their eyes to events at the Outer Rim. And still, the war coordinator, the Praetorite Vong, had failed. At first, Nome Anor feared that his people might have underestimated their enemies. But then, as more complete reports of the truth of the disaster had rolled in, he came to understand that ill fate alone had ruined the day. But it was not over, Nome Anor knew. Not at all. The Praetorite Vong was but a fraction of what his people could throw this way. Now the Yuuzhan Vong executor went back to his work. He was on a small planet, a relatively unknown piece of real estate, but one with a brewing civil war and a mounting hatred for the New Republic. He'd stir that brew.